This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
President Obama lays out his plan to deal with the deficit.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll talk about the long-term deficit reduction plan we're about to get from President Obama. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow's up 48 points at 12,312. The NASDAQ up about 0.6%, and the S&P 500 up about 0.3%. J.P. Morgan is driving the markets higher this morning. The bank reported a $5.6 billion profit for last quarter, thanks in part to less money being set aside in case consumers don't make their credit card payments. Now let's get to the president's big deficit speech today. He's expected to call for changes to entitlement programs as well as cuts to defense spending and tax increases. This is the Democratic counter to last week's Republican plan for long-term deficit reduction. Richard DeCaeser is an economist with the Parthenon Group. He's with us live as he is each Wednesday from Boston. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Well, what are you going to be watching for in the president's speech?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a lot here by way of details, but we're going to see a broad philosophical response to the Republican plan, and that's going to entail, as you mentioned already, tax increases, and I think the real purpose here is to distinguish the White House and the Democratic Party from the Republican plan. They're going to breach the topic of revenue enhancements, which is never popular. In following suit, the Republicans also breached some bright red lines by embracing cuts in entitlement programs. So we're starting to see a serious conversation, I think, beginning to roll out.
And when you say revenue enhancements, of course, that's a code word for
yep.
tax increases. Richard, don't we just end up with two plans, though, that don't really have a big chance of getting passed through Congress?
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. It's early in the game. Negotiations often start far apart. That's where we are. And if you want to look underneath these broad philosophical positions, you can always find some numbers. Basically, the Ryan plan gets us down to federal revenues as a share of GDP at about 18% in 10 years. The White House budget coming out earlier this year was closer to 20%, and that two-point difference is where we're going to be talking about taking the government over the course of the next year.
Richard DeCaeser, economist with the Parthenon Group, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Well, we got to look at March retail sales this morning. Here's the headline: consumers spent more, but mostly because of higher gas prices. The national average for a gallon of gas is about $3.80. We're getting close to where we were at peak prices back in the summer of 2008. So how are consumers reacting? For that, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So is there a difference between the way that consumers reacted to high gas prices back in 2008 and the way that they're reacting today?
It's a big difference. Back in 2008, we didn't really see a big drop-off in driving. We did see use of public transportation going up, but I don't think the roads were any less congested
yeah.
at that time, whereas now we're actually seeing gas sales going down. They're down for the past 5 weeks, and the indication is that as gas prices keep going up, consumers will keep stepping back.
And why is that happening this time?
I would say it's because the recession is still fresh in people's mind. The wounds are still fresh, and people remember what it's like to have a cash crunch. And so they're trying to get ahead of the curve by looking for ways to economize in advance. Now, it's interesting because retail sales are still up. People are not cutting back across the board, but they are cutting back on their driving.
So people are actually going to the stores more now, but they're spending less on gas.
Yeah, but it's a little more complicated. I think we can assume that people are carpooling. I think we can assume that people are using public transit more. more. But I think we also have more fuel-efficient vehicles on the road right now. Back in 2008, there were probably more Hummers and more Escalades and more things like that around. Now we're seeing a lot more hybrids on the loose. That also is having a big impact on gas sales.
People are actually going out and buying hybrids and Volts and all that stuff?
They are doing that, and yet public transportation is a very strong-going concern. And I think this is a real opportunity for transit operators around the country to try and offer an alternative to driving that is realistic and practical and convenient, and yet transit operators nationwide are cutting back on service even as gas prices head north.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com.
To TV land now, Katie Couric is appearing this morning in her former home. She's promoting a new book and an interview with Matt Lauer on NBC's Today Show. There are rumors the two of them will launch a new syndicated talk show together. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins tells us it's all part of a bigger story about the coming vacancy network TV still has to fill.
It's Oprah. With Winfrey off to her cable channel, around 7 million viewers suddenly need a place to go. A place where advertisers will pay millions to reach them.
There is a chance for anything, really, to fill the vacuum.
Marty Kaplan is a media professor at the University of Southern California.
Katie Couric and Matt Lauer, in principle, could be that sexy thing that's exactly the right thing to lead into the local news.
The gamble would be that the duo could deliver enough viewers to offset their sizable salaries. Toby Miller is a professor of popular culture at the University of California, Riverside.
There's no doubt in my mind that teamed up again, they could bring back people in their mid-30s to daytime afternoon television and then perhaps perk them up for something later in the evening.
But right now, the Couric and Lauer program is still much more of a soap opera than it is a talk show. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, to the well-known floor of the New York Stock Exchange, which, thanks to computerized trading, is becoming less of a trading floor and more of a TV set every day. Well, now the NYSE is renovating so it can be more attractive to party planners. It wants to double the number of events that are held there to 1,000 a year. It appears the market has spoken, and it's saying, bye-bye blue chips, hello chips and dip. Well, if you are still interested in the financial side of Wall Street, you can check out our new Wall Street blog by our New York Bureau Chief, Heidi Moore. It's at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Online poker is illegal in this country. Still, last year, Americans collectively bet billions of dollars on the web. Turns out, though, the odds are against us.
There's been a tremendous progress, and actually in heads-up limit Texas Hold'em, the best bots have surpassed the best professional human players.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Poker-playing robots raise the stakes online. That story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.